We celebrate the feast of the Most Holy Trinity, and it's one of those Sundays where I'm sure every preacher struggles to plan a homily, because it's just not easy to talk about the Trinity, such an intellectually challenging concept to even talk about. And we all know that St. Patrick tried to make it real for people, and he used the shamrock to explain the Trinity. I recently even read a more modern, if you want to call it, explanation by C.S. Lewis. Probably will connect a little more with that. And it's the explanation of a three-dimensional image. He says, if you take a piece of paper and you draw a line on that, you have one line and an image. The very fact you have a line on that, you have an image. And he said, now it could be a two-dimensional image if you make it a square, so you add length and breadth to it. It's the same image, but now it's a two-dimensional picture, right? Now you can make it a three-dimensional picture. So you draw lines as if you're making it a cube, so you add depth to it, the same image, but now it's three-dimensional. So C.S. Lewis would say this is a good way to understand the Trinity. Just like you have three dimensions, one image, you have three persons, one God, right? Great. What really I struggle with is, does it really matter that God is Trinity? If we did not know God as Trinity, say God was one, just one, no three persons, what difference would that make? In our ordinary practical life, what is the implication of knowing God as Trinity? That's what I want to deal with today. And I want to draw my points from today's scripture and divide it into three points for us to comprehend the implication of knowing God as Trinity. My first point is this: understanding God as Trinity is to understand ourselves as relational. So I'm saying it's very important to understand God as Trinity. If we believe that we are created by God in God's own image and likeness, then to know who we are, we must understand the God who created us. So today's first reading from the Book of Wisdom is a very feeble attempt to understand who God is. And if you take the reading and try to deal with it, wisdom tells us about God that God is eternal, that God is creative, that God is a source of life. And that tells us who we are. We are holy, we are creative, and we too can become the source of life. And the New Testament tells us more about God. God is revealed to us as Father, as Son, and as the Holy Spirit. And we are also given to understand that God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, they work in harmony and in love and in self-giving for the creation and redemption of the world. Why is this important to know this? Why is it important to know this? Because the more we understand God, the more we understand ourselves who are created by God. Which means what? Which means that we are relational beings. That our relationships are meant to be creative and not destructive. That our actions need to be life-affirming. That our actions need to be salvific and redeeming actions. That we are meant to create harmony and unity. That love is the guiding principle of our lives. One of the experiences that we are going through right now here in our parishes is somehow dealing with our schools. And we're trying to figure out how is it that we can offer the best Catholic education possible in this part of the city. And do you know, one of the greatest struggles that we face is this fierce independence of each parish and school. Our faith is the same. What we believe in is the same. But for some reason, there is this culture of strong, fierce independence that becomes an obstacle for us to work together. Understanding God as Trinity is important because we realize we are in connection, in relation with each other. And that we must somehow find a way to work in harmony, in unity, and in love. Now, as human beings, sometimes we stray, as I said. We stray from who we are called to be. But the Trinity is what can constantly remind us who we are supposed to be. So it's important then, as I said, to understand God so we can understand ourselves. The second thing that we learn from the Trinity is that the Trinity is a community. God is revealed in the Scripture to us as community, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And if we are made in God's image and likeness, then it is in our nature to be people who build community. It is contrary to human nature to act against the good of the world and the people that live in it. So let's briefly talk about this whole oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico, right? How many? Almost 40 days now? And there are multiple agencies involved in this operation of drilling oil. And each party involved in this great crisis, in this tremendous tragedy, one of the greatest frustrating things is how each party is trying to put the blame on someone else just to escape liability, to evade liability. Apart from the human and environmental damage this oil spill is doing for me, the most frustrating thing is that could we not first decide to work together to solve the problem, then our instinctive reaction being, let me not be the one to be blamed so that I can evade responsibility. Right? So I'm saying that selfishness, self-centeredness, self-service is contrary to the God who created us. Every marriage that breaks due to selfishness, every family that splits because of the selfishness of another, every war that is purely in self-interest, every crime created is an act contrary to human nature. Belief in God as Trinity is a commitment to community and the common good. Third, the Trinity is the epitome of love. The second reading tells us about the love of God that has been poured into our hearts. Like today's second reading, it's a very beautiful reading. The love of God has been poured into our hearts. The expression of that love That love is expressed most of all on the cross. The Father sends His Son who dies on the cross, and as God's eternal presence gives us the Holy Spirit. In other words, the very nature of the Trinity is love. If God as Trinity is love, then you and I are the fruits of love. What's the implication of that? There are thinking, there are words, there are actions, are the fruits of love. So here's a guiding principle that the Trinity gives to us. Love, the guiding principle. My thoughts, my words, my actions, may they be the most loving thing. Father giving us the Son was not the easiest thing, but it was the most loving thing. Jesus dying on the cross wasn't the easiest thing, but it's the most loving thing. For us, spending time in prayer is not the most easy thing, but it's the most loving thing. Disciplining children is not the easiest thing, but it's the most loving thing. Sharing our wealth is not the easiest thing, but it's the most loving thing. Overcoming resentment and forgiving someone else is not the easiest thing, but it is the most loving thing. So the feast of the Trinity, I think, is crucial to our faith and who we are. And as I say, for three reasons. It helps us to understand ourselves as relational. Second, to build community rather than the opposite. And third, to understand our nature as being the nature of God who is love. So as we begin to celebrate this Eucharist, let's keep in mind, most of all, that this Eucharist is a Trinitarian event. The Father sends us the Holy Spirit so that the bread and wine become the body and blood of Christ. This Eucharist is Trinitarian. Every sacrament is Trinitarian. We are baptized and we are Trinitarian. Let us pray that we are able to personalize this God who we receive as Trinity, that we can truly ask the Trinity to dwell in us, so that in our lives we may live out what the Trinity represent: love and community and relationship. People of God said, Amen.